to come and be able to sit out in the garden and just spend time with your family and your friends, that was something that appealed to us.
From Maggie to Mundingburra, Heatley to the Hill, Kerwin to Cluden, this is Townsville.
This is Townsville.
With Carly Whittington.
It's hard to believe we're up to season three already, but here we go. My name's Carly Whittington. Welcome. If this is your first time listening, there are 16 earlier episodes that you can enjoy anytime you like. But this season, we're going to keep having conversations with locals that will either entertain you, educate you, or just make you feel more connected to our community. And this season actually starts outside the studio. It was about halfway through 2021 when the news came out that the tea rooms on Harvey Range were for sale. And I thought, geez, that is a lot. There's a lot of Townsville history there. We have to have some conversations and find out more about that experience of running the tea rooms. So the owners, Desley and Russell, were kind enough to welcome me onto the veranda. And in this conversation, Desley takes us through the history of the tea rooms, how they came to be the home of the $50 cup of coffee, and what's planned next for these fantastic locals. Enjoy from the veranda of our Harvey Range tea rooms.
It is a really important part of the North Queensland history because if you think about it, I think Queensland was only around sort of 1859 when it was established. So we're very in those very early days. So where we're situated here on the top of the range, we're due west of the city of Townsville. The pioneers were looking for a way to get through out to the west and up to the north to like the gold fields. I think they were mining tin and a few other things at the time. So they really needed a way to get up there and get those valuable commodities back down to the coast and to the port, because the port was actually in its infancy as well. So it was established way back then as well. So this, I guess, is the low point in the range, and they established a track that the bullock teams and the teamsters could come out. And basically that's where it started. They wanted to get up to the northwest. They had big bullock teams to move the commodities either up, the supplies up there, and then the gold or whatever coming back down to the coast. It used to take the teamsters a day to get from the bottom of the range up to the top of the range.
Wow.
They needed somewhere to stop over, to shelter after every day's ride, hence they established a pub. So in those days there would have been a pub literally every day's ride. So even coming out from town, from Townsville, there would have been, I think there was three or something like that, hotels. There was one at the bottom of the hill as well. So then they would take the day to come up here, they would rest, and then the next day they would carry on. It became more of just a homestead and on the outskirts of Dotswood Station, which is the nearest big cattle station.
And the building that, like, we're sitting here on the veranda chatting, it looks like an original. Am I safe in saying that it is?
It's an original in every way. I say to people it's an original in different eras. The inside of this building, it's definitely, and the floorboards, you'll notice it's the horizontal slab, hardwood slabs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's original from when it was built, 1865. It's very similar, apparently, to Bowen River Hotel. Certainly that's original to that era. Then at different times, different things would have been done.
Mm-hmm.
So where we're sitting here and we're surrounded by, like, the weatherboard, I had somebody come up one day and tell me that you could actually tell where that weatherboard was milled because they have a different profile on the timber where it fits together. So that would have been put there in a different era.
Mm.
When you got to the 1930s, you'll see the introduction of the corrugated iron, and around the building was closed in a little bit in the 1930s to the 1950s. So it's all been typical North Queensland, I suppose.
Yeah, I was going to say, everything you're saying is very Queenslander, isn't it?
tacked together at different times, but tacked on to the original. It's still there, and it's in excellent condition inside.
And Desley, yourself and Russell have been owners since October 2013,
mm-hmm.
but you do have a bit of a funny link back to the history of the tea rooms.
This is actually where I first met my father-in-law, if you like. So my husband's father, Stan, he was living in here. So he was here in the 1960s, 70s, 80s. It was a very popular rodeo grounds. So out the back of the tea rooms, there was a big rodeo grounds. A lot of people had been to the Harvey Range Rodeo. Yeah. Lots of stories there about the fights between the between the cowboys and the bikies. Okay. I get lots of stories around that. But anyway, so Stan was here in those days. He used to run a horse riding business, trail riding business, where you could come and get on a horse and go for a ride out the back. So he did that from here at the tea rooms, and then the rodeos were held out the back. They had a committee and they used to run that. So that Russell actually grew up here. When the opportunity came to purchase the tea rooms, we just went, yeah, let's give that a go.
And what a fantastic almost decade that it's been. Desley, for anyone who hasn't experienced the tea rooms, can you paint a picture for what this experience is like? What is it, you know, that keeps bringing people back here?
I think the best thing about the tea rooms is you can sit out in the garden. So we were very fortunate. I'm thankful almost every day for the people who actually owned the property in the mid-1980s. They set about planting all these trees around the tea rooms because it was quite bare many, many years ago. There was nothing around the tea rooms. So these people who were keen gardeners, and they planted all these wonderful trees which we're now reaping the benefits of. So to come and be able to sit out in the garden under the cool trees and just spend time with your family and your friends, that was something that appealed to us, and that we wanted to be able to give people that opportunity. You can, of course, sit inside the building, so you can sit within the four walls and think about what the people in the day would have experienced. We're doing that now. I mean, you know, here we are sitting on the veranda, and somebody was sitting here 150 years ago.
It's crazy.
I mean, what were they doing then? Probably having a cup of tea or something.
Yeah.
It's a nice place. It's being up on the hill, it's always been a few degrees cooler.
Yes.
And then being out under the trees, it's a few degrees cooler. So I think we just wanted to create a casual atmosphere where you could come and spend time with family and friends, have a bit of a meet-up, have a nice scone or something while you were here, cup of coffee. But more just experience what we knew to be a really nice area.
It really is an experience coming here. It's not just having a coffee. There's so much to take in. Desley, I want to have a chat too about the amazing, other experiences that you've given locals or maybe other visitors over these years. You obviously put on high teas and, you know, you can cater for special events. My mum had a surprise 60th in the back shed. That was really cool to organise. So thank you for helping with that.
Yep.
But also, weddings is such a standout. What is that like to be a part of?
I actually really enjoy that. I really enjoy that side of things. I love meeting with the couples for the first time when they walk around, and it's really hard because you look at it and you go, I'm sort of saying, oh, you know, you can do this and you can do that and visualise these fairy lights and do this. And really they're just looking at a blank canvas. And sometimes they're probably going, oh, my God, she's off ahead. So... But then by the time we walk around and then you sort of say, well, this is the ceremony spot, you know, and this is where the bride will come down and, you know, you're going to be walking through here and all your family. So I really enjoy that. And then when you come back and have a chat about, you know, how they're going to set things up, the feedback that we get around the weddings is mostly around how calm and relaxed people feel. This is from families, you know, like from the dad or someone like that. Mm. They just love the idea that they're not stuck within four walls. So they'll go and have the ceremony somewhere out in the paddock. Then they'll come back over to the shed, which is the reception venue, and, you know, they'll have their nibblies or whatever, and then they start their party. Always the consistent feedback is, oh, gee, this is a lovely spot. Oh, it's so relaxing. And I enjoy that. We've had some really, really good experiences through that, and that's what we try to make it. We try to make it a little bit flexible for people, but I want them to have a good time.
Definitely. Mm. I know, like, you might not want to pick a favourite, but is there, in these few years, one that has stood out?
No, to be honest, not really. I mean, I should say our daughter, they got married in July 2017, and Georgia was adamant, well, she wanted July because she didn't want to be hot, so she wanted in the winter
weather.
Months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She had chosen just two gum trees down in the middle of the paddock, out in the middle of nowhere, that she wanted to have a ceremony. And her photographer said, well, no, you can't do that because if it's bright sunshine, somebody's going to be looking into the sun. Yeah. You can only do that if it's overcast or raining. And right up into that week, I'm going, Georgia, you've got to decide where you're going to have your ceremony. No, we'll just wait and see. We'll wait and see. And I said, you've got to decide where we're going to, you know, Dad needs to know where to take the chairs, where to set up the arch, where to do all this. And you wouldn't read about it, but about 2 days beforehand, the weather came in like it is today. Overcast, light showers. And she goes, well, we're going to be out in the gum trees, aren't we? So we set up out in the middle of the paddock out there.
Yeah.
And it looked absolutely stunning. Light mist around, it was all green. And then we moved into the shed and she had fairy lights absolutely everywhere. Every post, every whatever she could find was covered in fairy lights. So I guess without bias, it was a lovely celebration. And I got to sit back. My staff looked after us. They said, now don't you do anything, don't you go anywhere near anything. Mm. So that was really good. But otherwise, I say to people, just keep it simple.
Mm.
Just remember that it's about you, what you want, and spending time with your family and friends and whatever. And you know, now, so we get to meet the babies. We always,
of course.
Every now and again, they come back with their babies or they'll come back for an anniversary or... so I like that too.
Super special. And when they are back here, they're enjoying your delightful menu. I want to touch on the menu because I think there's truly nothing more iconic than a cup of tea and scones. But your scone flavour combinations are amazing. So who's the boss of that? Who gets to set those menus?
Well, the scones are a hangover from the previous owners. So they've just worked.
Mm-hmm.
They are a delight to make. When we took over, we had one particular lady and she looked after the scones all the time, but she's moved on. So then it was like, well, okay, who wants to have a go at the scones? So there's a couple of the younger ones. They said, oh, you know, we like baking, let us have a go. So now a couple of the younger girls actually do the scones. So we haven't changed anything there. They're still presented in the same way. I still get a laugh every now and again when, you know, we get a bad review which says, oh, they were too fluffy. They're more like a cake than a scone.
I was going to say, they are the biggest scones I've ever seen and you only need to order one, as I've learned in the past. But they are always fluffy. I love that.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Yeah, they're full of eggs and cream and whatever. They've got lots of things in them that make them nice and fluffy. And when they're made... Even though they're made as an individual scone, the only difference is, instead, because we've got to make so many, they're made individually, but then they're put on a big tray together, so they do meld together into like what is like a cake, I suppose, and then they're cut up.
Mm.
But that's more because we've got to make so many. I mean, if you're making half a dozen and you just want to put half a dozen on a tray, well, you'd go like, you know, you'd cut them out and that'd be it, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But when you've got to make, there's 35 on a tray, so... And then, you know, how many trays there are, that's why they look like they do. And they do come out in odd sizes from time to time.
How many trays do you go through within, like, if you have a busy weekend, how many trays of scones?
5 or 6. So what's, I think the, oh, look, I must, I should have checked my facts on
no,
that.
No, that's
Carly,
okay.
Because I do remember.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. And it's funny because I remember talking to Manny, who used to make the scones for us. And one day, you know, she'd gone through some record amount and she goes,
wow.
Oh my God, I think we've just done, you know, 350, let's say. I don't know.
Wow.
I think it was more than that.
Something else really interesting on the menu though is this coffee that is $50 a cup, but it's extremely unique.
The Kopi Luwak is what you're talking about.
I can't pronounce it, so that's why I left it to you to say.
Kopi's coffee and Luwak is the animal that it comes from. So the previous owners, so Alan and Michelle, they actually, you know what, I never asked them how they got upon it, but they had it as their lead item. So previously the team, their tag was home of the $50 a cup coffee.
Yeah.
So they came across it, and at the time, so the Tea Rooms was opened in 2005, so I think it was 2007. It was the only place, there's only two places in the world that you could get it. It was here and Harrods in London. So they got a lot of publicity around it. It was in that movie, The Bucket List. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how Morgan Freeman, Jack Nicholson.
Yes, yeah, great movie.
Yeah, yeah. Got to have me some of that cat coffee.
I'll have to go back and watch that part again.
That's where it came from. That's what they're referring to.
Yeah,
to the Kopi Luwak.
Okay,
so it from where we get it from, and we still have it on the menu. In Indonesia, there was a coffee plantation, mandaling. The civets would go out and eat the coffee cherry, mm-hmm. goes through their body, mm-hmm. they poop it out. Mm-hmm. When it goes through the body, the digestive process takes away the bitterness of the coffee. Oh. You get a little bit of an aftertaste on coffee, a little bit of bitterness. It yep. takes that away.
Yeah.
I have got no idea who decided to go out and pick up these little pieces of poop.
That's what you have to wonder in life. Like some things happen in life and you go, who was the first person to try that or to suggest
that? Well, I'm still wondering. I haven't asked the question. Some days I go, I should really ask that question. I'll keep that as a mystery.
Yeah.
So they did that. From there it goes through the obvious process that has to go through to make the coffee and to, you know, clean it and all that sort of thing. It did actually get stuck in the very first Border Force, like that TV show.
Oh wow!
So when it was coming in way yeah. back then, it was on Border Force and that.
I've got to watch that too. I've got to watch it.
So way back then, so they had it. It was very popular. They won awards for their marketing. They had Sunrise, the TV show here. It was super duper. And,
yeah.
We've got the guest book there, the comment book. And if you go through that, there's just, you know, now probably hundreds, maybe thousands of...
Koshy write something in there.
Probably. Oh, Monique or whoever was here on the day.
Yeah.
When we purchased, around the time we purchased, there was a little bit of discussion around the efficacy, I suppose, because around that time they did start farming the animals. So we had to decide were we going to keep it on the menu or not. We decided to... because we know that where we get the product from is like a free, I explain it like a free range chook farm. These animals are in on a big disused plantation and they let the animals go out, they do their thing. So we have decided to keep it on the menu. I look at it and go, without divulging any secrets, what I pay for a kilo of that relative to what I pay for a kilo, it is definitely $50 compared to $5. But you know.
The experiences,
and
there.
I have had it, and maybe when we go, I might just put it all out for everybody to have at our going away party if we do sell. We'll see.
We'll chat about that really soon, Desley. Just wrapping up with the menu between the scones and then the special coffee and everything in between. What is your favourite item?
My favourite is actually the loaded BLT.
I was going to say the BLT is popular as well.
Yeah, and that came about because. And a couple of the items do that, like the staff. Well, you know, what are you having for lunch? Oh, I'll have this, this, and this. So the loaded BLT, which has the homemade chutney,
mm-hmm.
we don't make it. Val makes it. Somebody puts the chutney on. They put a bit of cheese on, and then they put, you know, this, that, and the other. And then we go, oh, that's actually quite nice.
Yeah.
So that gets on the menu. And steak sandwiches too. We've kept those simple and good quality steak.
And Desley, obviously, we've mentioned that's what we're here for today is talking about the sale of the tea rooms.
Yeah.
Could you touch on what that experience has been like for you and Russell?
We decided that the reason that we're selling is because in my mind, it's a great family business. So we had our daughter Georgia here as our manager, and her and I worked really well together. And you need to have that balance, I believe, in a business like this. As in, you need to be able to balance your family life and your work life.
Mm.
So it was good with her here because I could, you know, if I want to have a weekend away doing my dragon boating or whatever, then I could do that. She finally decided, her husband has been working away a lot. As I said, they were married in 2017. He works out west last year. Around June, she said, oh, look, I really should go, you know, be with James. And they have moved to Roma where he's taken a job.
Oh, beautiful.
So the discussion was around, well, you know, do we carry on or do we look at selling? And my husband he said, yeah, you know what, it's probably time. Like it's a lot of work. It's probably time to have a bit of a rest. I really resisted it for quite a while because I really enjoy it. I love nearly most everything. I mean, it's been really challenging for the last 2 years with the COVID stuff, but in general, I still enjoy it. So I did resist it for a while, and then the more I thought about it, I thought, no, I can't do it by myself, so to speak. We need to decide whether we're going to employ a manager or go the sale. So we decided to go the sale option. And you know, we had a couple of people who were really interested early on, and then I think as it went on, I come to the realization that it's probably not the best time to be selling a hospitality business. Yeah, I come to the realisation sort of over Christmas and that, that this is going to take a bit longer than what we thought. So then you go through the next process. Well, we need to plan to be here.
Mm.
The most difficult thing about that is actually the weddings, because you wanted to book...
Okay, of course, yeah.
You know, you wanted to book weddings in, but what could I say to people? Oh, we might not be here. What I promise you is might not be what you're going to experience that you're going to have.
Mm.
So that was really difficult for me for the last month.
Mm.
And then now that we're in the new year and it's just, look, I'm just going to press on. And I'm going to, you know, I need to keep going as if either we're going to be here or whoever comes in is going to do the right thing by those type of people, by the wedding people. As far as the day-to-day stuff goes, it'll be fine. You know, I've got this really good staff and whoever comes in will work with them. From Russell's point of view, I thought he would be a little bit more upset to be going from here because he had the connection with the place. But I think he's been able to just enjoy the time that's here and have experienced it, I suppose, but realizing that it's probably not the end of the world and he'll go off and carry on doing something else.
Exactly. And what is that? What is that question mark for what's over, what you guys are going to get up to now?
For him, I think it'll just be playing with his motorbikes. He enjoys... Restoring. Restoring motorbikes.
Is he restoring? Maybe he is destroying.
So he really loves doing that, and he's quite happy to be in his shed and do that side of thing. For me, I think, I'll definitely find something else to do. I have really enjoyed the whole hospitality side of things, working with Townsville Enterprise, the tourism side of things. I love Townsville and the area, and so not another business, probably more likely something in just working in that area. I'm also a breast cancer survivor, so that's now 15 years along, so that's quite a milestone, and I've always had some finger in the pie in that pink space as well, so I reckon maybe just something in that community space. And I've just got one little business idea that is in the back of my head that'll stay there for a little while until it's ready to be divulged.
Sounds exciting. Is Russell on board with that idea as well?
He doesn't need to be. I realised that I need to do this, but a couple of girlfriends are. We had a discussion over lunch. They know that I've been wanting to do this for a little while.
Yeah.
We had a discussion over lunch on Wednesday and they said, it's about time you brought that other little idea out.
Well, I'm very excited for what might be happening next. And Desley, I think we're going to wrap it up there because the rain.
You can hear those.
You can hear it. Here it comes.
Raindrops coming on that tin roof. And now this is a good wrap up.
Desley, thank you so much for sharing your experience of the tea rooms. It's been really interesting to go behind the scenes, and best wishes for everything in the future.
Thank you very much, Carly. Thanks for popping on. This is time.